Angiogenesis, of course, is an important target in cancer. We have presumed for many decades that tumor cells cannot grow beyond a certain length, but the problem is that angiogenesis is a very complicated phenotype. It's driven by interactions with several receptors, the VEGF receptor, the one we know the most of, as well as the elaboration of proteases. So interrupting this pathway is quite a task. A very interesting correlative study was one that was published recently by Sandy Swain's group at the NCI, and this was attempting to look at a variety of imaging and tissue indices in patients with locally advanced and primarily inflammatory breast cancer. In terms of results, MRI was done at multiple time points after the first cycle, which was bevacizumab alone, and then following therapy with chemotherapy as well. The imaging indices did show that there was a drop in numerous contrast-based analyses such as efflux of contrast and hang-up of contrast across the board, but there wasn't a difference between the responders and non-responders. In terms of the correlative studies, what was interesting is that VEGF receptor 2 as well as 1 dropped, especially the phosphorylated or activated versions of these receptors. And not only did the levels drop, but the localization went from membrane to cytoplasmic. Another thing that was uniformly seen was that the apoptosis rate went up. And again, this might be expected. We know that VEGF receptor is also a survival-related receptor in addition to an angiogenic receptor. And as we have seen with other biologic drugs, we can modulate the degree of apoptosis. We haven't seen this as much with drugs like bevacizumab and even with lapatinib, but this was quite dramatic, even after exposure to bevacizumab alone. The one factor that did appear predictive was VEGF levels themselves. They did tend to decrease more in responders than non-responders. The next pivotal study that many of you are familiar with is the comparison of paclitaxel alone to paclitaxel plus bevacizumab in the first-line setting for metastatic disease. This was presented by Kathy Miller, the ECOG-led 2100 study, which compared paclitaxel given on a weekly schedule compared to the same with the addition of bevacizumab. And the response rate was clearly increased from 14% to about 30%. And the primary endpoint of progression-free survival was nearly doubled. This was strongly statistically significant even in the early analyses and continues to be so on subsequent analyses. Whether or not this drug can be partnered with other drugs, other taxanes, nanoparticle taxanes, or even other drugs in the first-line setting really needs further exploration. To date, there really hasn't been compelling data that would suggest that there's an optimal chemotherapy partner, either in the preclinical or in the clinical setting. Remember that fluoropyrimidines really are the staple of treatment in gastrointestinal malignancies where benefits have clearly been seen. And then, of course, whether or not this drug should be used following progression really needs to be studied as well.